I remember Harris Street.
Okay.
Yeah, Groves. I think I moved when I was a baby from Miller Street into
okay.
Groves.
Yeah. Right. We're with Dorothy Morfitt. And Dorothy was born in 1926 in Hull. And Dorothy's going to tell us about her time during the war on Spurn Point. So, Dorothy, tell us about what you did on Spurn Point during the war.
Well, only serving troops and watching the fires in Hull. It was lovely. So it's not a nice thing to say, but it did look lovely from there.
So as you were on Spurn Point, you could see all the Blitz, all the fires in Hull.
Yes, everything.
Could you just describe it for somebody who doesn't imagine what it was like?
Well, the only thing I could describe it as is like bonfire night. But there were big fires, not small ones, you know. And you could hear the guns going off and the bombs. But we were just all stood watching and wondering what was going on.
Was it a big glow in the sky?
Very big, yes. Yeah, because you didn't know which part of Hull it was coming from. And you wondered whether it was your own family or anything else like that, you know.
So what were you thinking and feeling?
Well, all you're thinking about is your own family, is hoping they're all right. But with them living on this estate, they were.
So they lived on North Hull Estate?
Yes. I lived here since it was started to build. There was Endike Lane, half 21st Avenue built, and that was it. And three huts for school, Green Huts.
Yeah. When did you move here then, Dorothy?
I moved on to Greenwood Avenue, near 8th Avenue bus stop, I think when I was about 12. And I got married from there. Then I went to live in Lissett Grove, prefabs first in Sutton Road. And then into Lissett Grove, and then on to Orchard Park.
So you came here to North Hull Estate before the war, before World
yes.
War II. Could you describe what it looked like, what the houses looked like? Was it a very poshish place?
Well, to me, it's never altered. The shops in Endike Lane, where I used to live, a corner of Ellerburn Avenue, there's no more shops there than when I was little. The occupants, yes, because it's nearly all charity shops now.
What shops do you remember down there when you were young?
The first shop was like a gift shop where you'd bring and buy, you know, like a pawn shop. It wasn't a pawn shop, but it reminded me of one. And the next door to them was a wet fish shop. And there was a butcher's and a grocer's shop. And then all I remember was there was Jewess. So that was a big shop then. It's where Heron is now. And then, of course, you got the club and that.
What club was that?
The picture house further on.
And what was that?
The Rex Pictures. So. I think that's all I remember down there.
Because this was right at the edge of the city, wasn't it, when it was first built in the
yes.
30s? So what was the view beyond? What could you see? Was it fields?
It was all fields. There was nothing from, say, Endike Lane, 21st Ave. All this was fields. And I came in here once. And that was when I was in my teens. I come with my mum to see a friend's mother before all this was built.
So that's before Ada Holmes Circle was built?
Yeah. Part of it was built, so it all being built. But to be quite honest, I wouldn't like to live any other way, other state.
And Just describe what the houses were like. Were they very modern houses for their time?
What I remember of all the houses was built the same. There was I don't think there was any difference at all. The only house that's been up here a long time that I can remember is what we all call the private houses in Endike Lane. There was a field next to them. We used to call it the police field. I don't know why, but we did. And there was a big tree. I think somebody had burnt the middle out, and they used to play in it, and it was all wood and dust, you know. And there was a slope, Endike Lane, bottom of Elburn Avenue. There was a slope where we used to slide up and down it. It's the only entertainment we had.
And just go back to your childhood. What things did you get up to as a child? What did you used to play at? What did you do?
Double ball, whip and top. And I think that's all. And knocking off ginger now and again.
Tell us what knocking off ginger was.
Knocking on people's doors and running away, getting added. We never got caught, we was too clever. Well, it was childhood, I mean, you weren't doing any harm. But it was annoying when they used to come to the door and there was nobody there. Well, we used to be hard behind the fences and laugh at them.
When you said you really liked this area, Northfield Estate, what was it you liked about it?
Well, the people, to start with, they were all friendly. So, I don't know about the other estates because I've never lived on them. I've always been up here. And Orchard Park was the same, because I lived in the four-bedroom house in Orchard. Then I went in, I've been in the two flats. I've been in the flats 30 years.
When you were growing up as a younger lady, because if you were born in 1926, you'd have been a sort of young teenage girl, wouldn't you, when you came here?
Pardon?
You'd have been a young teenage girl when you came here, Dorothy.
Let me see. I'm just trying to think. My first school was Green Oats. Then I went to Fifth Avenue when we watched it being built. So I'd be about 10, I should think.
And what was school like in those days?
Very strict. We went to, we used to go to Beverley Road Baths, and we used to do exercises on the side of the bath, you know, for swimming. And I think one of the girls was saying that our instructor couldn't swim. She was in a bathing costume. But she said all she does is tell us what to do and that, you know. And the next minute we knew she was in the water back and forth. Did two lengths in 2 seconds.
Just to show her that she could swim.
Somebody said she was an Olympic swimmer, but whether she was, I wouldn't know. But I think she just heard and she didn't have a shock. You know, she said, you're telling us to do all these exercises and I bet she can't swim.
And in what ways were the teachers strict at school?
Well, you couldn't talk. And if you went in assembly, you had to sit in your classes, you know, so that everybody knew what you were. Because of one girl, I don't know her name, she was young and she got caught with baby, and the Miss Bennett was the head teacher then, she was the first one, and she said, I'm very disappointed in you girls, one of my girls is expecting a baby, which you shouldn't, but I'm giving no names out. Well, you know who she was, because she wasn't sat in the class, was she? So I felt sorry for her. She was such a bonny girl, you know. But it's the way they come out with it, you know. And Miss Atkinson, she used to take us for science and that. And when I worked at Zerny's, she sent a coat in to clean. Well, she always used to wear it, had a scarf to match a coat. And she sent it in to clean. So my sister and one or two of the girls, of course they all lived down here, and said, they all knew who it was. So I said, I'll tell you what, I'll put a couple of stitches in a pocket and I'll put an adult in, which I did. My sisters were still at school, weren't they? So she said, oh, by the way, Gladys, just tell your sister I got a letter. So she recognised me. She said, did you put a letter in Miss Atkinson's pocket? I said, yeah, we did it for fun. I said, but I didn't sign it. Well, she said, she knew your writing.
And in those days, you mentioned about one of the girls getting pregnant at school. Was that taboo? Was that very bad in those days?
Them days, it was very bad. It's something I didn't even know about until I got married. Because I wasn't told about anything like that.
So you weren't told about the facts of life?
Nothing at all. Didn't even know where they come from.
So how did you find out then?
Well, to be quite honest, after I got married, I happened to mention to my husband about children. And I said, where did they come from? He said, the exact word he said was, what goes up must come down. And that was my answer.
And that was all you found out about?
Yeah, that's all I found out.
Having children?
Pardon?
About having children?
Children, yeah. Because he asked me dad. And he said, I thought she knew. He said, how on earth she'd been in the naffy and all like that. And didn't know anything about it, which we didn't. We was all brought up for boys not to touch us. Or lift our skirts up, and that was it. Apart from anything else, didn't know a thing.
So did you ever get kissed by boys before you were married?
No. No. Talk to them. Play with them. Yeah, but not touch, no. It was forbidden. My dad was very strict, and we had to be in at 11 o'clock up to the day I was married. And if I wasn't in, he was at the door waiting for us coming in.
Did you ever get into trouble with him over that?
Oh, no. We used to go to dances at St. John's. I always had to come home early to get me in for 11 o'clock. There's only one time I didn't get in, and we'd been to Albert Avenue Baths. And, you know, that skylark, and they pushed us in. And they pushed us in the water, and I don't know what it was, I didn't see it, but something clicked in my leg, and I couldn't get out. And I'd fell at a boy had shorts on, but he had one of them belts on the shorts with what we call scout belts for putting knives on. It got caught in my leg. And they couldn't get it out. So I had to go all the way to infirmary. Somebody took us in car with one of my school friends. And how they got it open, I don't know. And my friend lived on Beverly High Road. She said, I'll come home with you, Dot. So I said, well, I didn't go home. She said, why? I said, you know me, Dad, 11 o'clock. And when we got off the bus, because it was a stop right opposite 8th Ave, got off the bus, my dad was waiting at the gate. I said, I didn't go and tell him. So she got off the bus with me, and he said, you're grounded, what's where you been? And Rini said, oh, we've been to hospital. She said, what have you been to hospital for? She said, she got a clip in her leg. And my dad did believe in, so she walked back home when I got in. I didn't say anything after that. But from then on, all belts on lads' trousers were forbidden.
So when you were courting with your husband-to-be,
yeah,
did you not kiss at all until after you were married?
No. And I've known him since I was about 10.
So when you found out, when he told you about how babies were born, was that a shock? Were you surprised?
It was a shock. Getting married was a shock.
In what way, Dot? How was getting married a shock? What surprised you?
Well, if you saw my photograph of my wedding at St John's when I got out of the car to go into church, you'd think my dad was running me there to get rid of us because we're all girls. And I was the first one. You know, all the girls from Zernies were queuing up, you know. And they always said, when I went back to work, bah, your dad was in a hurry, wasn't he? I think he wanted to get rid of us. I wouldn't change my life that way, anything like that. I wouldn't change it. But in them days, it was forbidden even to talk about anything like that. And if I'd got pregnant myself and gone home, I wouldn't have lived at all. My father would have thrown us out. I wanted dad go home. Well, I didn't know what the meaning was, I knew then, so.
So did you have children, Dot?
I had four.
So tell me what it was like, given that you didn't know very much about the facts of life. Did you know that you were pregnant? Did you know you was having a baby the first time?
No, the only time I felt it was my daughter. She was the eldest one. And I was sick every meal. And we lived in the prefabs then, up Sutton Road. And I was sick, but only at meal times. And my husband said, you better go to see a doctor to see what's wrong with her, you know, because you've never been sick like that before. And that's when I found out I was pregnant. But I was never sick with the boys, just with her.
So you had sickness as a result of being pregnant?
Yes.
And then tell me, what was it like during the period of pregnancy and then giving birth? What do you remember?
Nothing, it was just normal. I didn't suffer in any way. And I've always had quick births. That the youngest one, she didn't even get her gloves on. So the youngest dad, all the three first ones were all a fortnight early, but the youngest one was a fortnight late. And because the doctor then were like friends, and he said he's a lazy lad, Dot. He said he was born with his arm up, he was settled, he didn't want to come.
And did you get any help or advice from your mum?
Pardon?
Did you get any help or advice from your mum about giving birth?
Mother never spoke about it. No way. Oh, that's why my dad couldn't understand it. But it's never broached my mother at all, any of us. And we all said the same. She never mentioned anything at all to us.
And what was it like for you being a mum?
Just normal. You looked after them and dressed them and that and took care of them. It wasn't anything outstanding, what I would call outstanding, you know.
So it was just ordinary life?
Yeah.
And did you feel very proud to be a mum?
No. Not that I know of.
Did Did you feel love to your children?
Oh, yes. I still do. But to say anything outstanding, no.
Should we go back to the time that you were working for the NAFI?
Yeah.
On Spurn Point. This is during World War Two.
Yeah.
Could you tell us, Dorothy, what you had to do? What was your work?
I was in the kitchen making the meals, what they had. The only meal, well, it wasn't a meal, it was a cake. If anybody left anything, like biscuits, pastry, what we didn't get much of, they used to put it in a big hobart, mix it up with water, and then put it on trays. We used to call it Naffy Wedding Cake. And they used to like it. And it was all bits and pieces mixed up, you know. So what people left, you couldn't throw out. You used to put it, tip it all in. This don't matter what it was, just went in. And they used to say, that was nice, that. I said, well, I would like to have eaten it myself. It was clean, no, but, you know, it hadn't been on the floor. But you can't imagine people eating or cooking out like that, can you now?
Could you describe what the camp was? Who was it for? Who was there?
It was all army. There was AK guns, them pop guns that you always, I don't know what they call them, but we never saw any of it. We were on the outskirts of the camp, but we could go in the officer's mess and the sergeant's mess. Only on set days if there was entertaining. We couldn't go neither. I never saw one gun. I heard them, but we never saw them.
So you were working as a cook in the NAFI.
I want to cook. I was doing dog's body, you know.
Yeah, helping.
Yeah.
And you say it was for an army encampment and there would have been defensive guns on Spurn Point.
Yes.
And you say it was for the army, but was it also for the RAF?
There was no RAF on the point at all. They say Butlin's camp was all Air Force. Farley was all Air Force.
Because you worked at Farley as well,
yes,
didn't you?
And when I was at Newark, that was an Air Force because it was a airdrome. But
and what sort of food was cooked for the soldiers on Spurn Point? What did you make for them?
That's something I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you at all because I wasn't in the cooking side. I just used to clean and wash pots and all like that.
Was it a friendly?
I was only about 16, 17, so I didn't do any cooking at all.
And you mentioned that there was a railway down Spurn Point.
It ran from Killensey straight down to the bottom. It was one coach, wooden seats, very hard, and the back of the seat used to push forward so that if you was in a group you could turn them to talk, you know. But I always thought it belonged there. But nobody seemed to know about it.
And was it a steam train or how was it powered?
As far as I can remember, it was a steam train. But I think it used to run when there was a few coming off leave, you know, to take them back to the, because it was a long walk. You couldn't, I suppose it's still the same. You could never get two cars to pass each other. There used to be inlets, and a car had to back in for another one, even with the toilet trucks, because there was no flush toilets then. And when they come once a week, you could smell it.
So they used to empty the toilets, did they?
Yeah, it was with a wooden, they had a wooden seat, you know, and everybody used a one toilet. And if they thought they needed it, they used to come twice a week. Never come no more than twice. So, and you knew when that would come because it was a different kind of truck you know, so well, nobody would pass that. And when the news that time was coming, they used to stay out of sight.
What, because of the smell?
Yes.
Yeah. And could you describe the atmosphere at that time? Were the soldiers generally quite friendly, quite... Did they try and chat you up? Because there wouldn't have been that many women.
They were all friendly. I don't think I ever heard anybody argue. Not one. They used to quiz each other, but I've never known any of them have an argument or a punch-up or anything like that. I didn't know what punch-ups was then, anyhow. So.
And then later on you went to Filey, to what is now the Butlins Holiday Camp, is that right?
I went to Filey first, and that was... They were still making it then, and we used to have our graffy in what they called, well, they did call, the Viennese Hall. The Viennese, like a dance hall. And that was our naffy itself. And we used to be in the chalets outside for billets, you know. And then, because I was only 17 and a half then, so I had to stay there with my cousin till I was 18. Then I moved to Farley Town. And we used to live in an ordinary house, you know, there. And I think I've been trying to, every time I go to Bridger, Scarborough, I've always looked where it was. Well, last year when we went with my sister, the only place I can think it is, it's now a hairdresser's. It was right on the corner. I've got a photograph of it in the album, but which album, I wouldn't know. But it was all dressed in white with our hats on, and we stood outside. And I said to my sister, well, I said, every time we come by here, Yuma, I can't remember where it was. It's such a long time ago. And then I said, the only place I can think of is that one there, look, it's hairdressers now.
And after the war, when you... Did you come back to live in Hull? Because you were married here, weren't you?
I come back and went back to Zernies.
And what did
you do? You could give a week's notice in the naffy. That's why I joined, in case I didn't like it. I could come home.
And could you describe to people who don't know what Zernies was?
A dry cleaners. There was, it was run by two brothers, Max and Dennis, and they had another brother, David, but he was in the regular Navy, so he only used to come and visit.
And what was your job at Zernies?
Packing. I was always in the clean. I never worked among machinery at all. I'm frightened of it. Yeah, you used to pack all the clean clothes and that, you know, for the shop. They used to come on rails then, you know, and then we used to put them on little rail, you know, to go out to different shops.
And did you see any of the bomb damage in Hull during the war?
Not a lot. The only part I can really remember, and it wasn't in town, it was the semi-detached house on the corner, facing this way.
Here on North Hull Estate?
Yeah. It's got a landmine dropped on it. And that's when I was a messenger. Mine only took one message.
Why?
Well, my dad always used to see me to the ARP post opposite 8th Avenue. And I had a tin hat, and he shouted to me to get my hat on when the landmine dropped, because you couldn't hear him, because he was come down by parachute. And Vera, we used to go to school with her, Vera and Doreen. I don't know whether she had any brothers, because I didn't know them. And a mother and father were killed, and a baby. Vera and Doreen, they blew out into the garden, and Vera had the fire blow out onto the back of a calf of the leg. and it's bent all her leg, and you could, even now, you can still see where the fire, well, but as far as I know, she lives in Patrington now. I ain't seen her for donkey's years.
So are you saying that your friend Doreen and Vera, their house was bombed?
Yes.
Or a landmine?
Yeah.
And it blew them out the house?
Yeah.
And it burnt all their leg?
Yeah.
And what was your job as a messenger?
Well, I was supposed to take messengers round to different places. If there was anything, a bombing or anything, they gave you a little letter and you had to take it on a bike, you know, and give it to the next DRP post. But I only went once. And it was down 8th Avenue somewhere, I don't know where it was. The air raid wardens used to have a bunk. And with being young, I used to lay on there to try and sleep. Then they covered me with tin hats so they could play darts. Yeah, how can you sleep with all the banging and that? But I used to, but I never got hit with a dart, I can say that.
You never got hit by a bomb either, did you?
Yeah.
So why did you only deliver one message? Did you not like the work, or what stopped
well,
you?
Well, there can't have been many messages to send, can they? You only sent what they sent in to you. So I mean, I didn't know nothing about that side of it. All I did was had to take message you put in, you got the one.
So you were in Hull for some of the war?
Most of it, yeah.
And just describe what it's like, because for people who didn't live through it, what was it like being in Hull during the war with all the Blitz and the bombing?
Well, if you went into town, it used to be terrible because you couldn't walk far. And the only thing that I know that got hit for sure was, where was it? Was it past Clough Road? No, town near where the old mail office is, round that Brundle's Corner. And it was... Then we used to have to go in there for gas masks. And we used to have to walk in with gas masks on. When you was in the messengers, and then you go in without your gas masks. Well, you run very quick, and I think that got hit. But apart from that, I don't know any special buildings.
But for you as a young woman, the sirens, the buzzers would be going regularly.
Yes.
Were you, and what did that feel like, day in, day night, day out, and night time?
Well, we used to spend all our time in the shelters. My dad made a bench and was all laid, covered up all with bench. As it went, we stopped there all night, we didn't come out. Because we used to fall to sleep after if it quietened off, you know, because you could hear the sirens going and that, and the bomb. But ours was a brick wall. No, Anderson shelter we had at 8th Avenue. But the one I moved, when I got married and moved into Lizard's, there were brick ones there. Mind you, we didn't use them because it was after the war. And then the corporation come and knocked them all down.
But it's just being, you know, day after day, night after night, with bombs being dropped on the city. Did that, you know, what was the sound of it like?
Well, you got that used to it. It was, I think the sirens gave you more fright than anything else, because they were loud. But we just used to get dressed or go in our nighties, because, I mean, then we didn't have dressing gowns, and get on the bunk and get covered up and go to sleep. And my dad, if we was asleep, my dad never disturbed us to go back in house. We used to go back in house when we woke up.
Were you ever worried about being hit by a bomb or being killed, or were you too young to worry about it?
Well, I can't even remember thinking about it. Oh, it never entered your head for you, you know, anywhere else. I think this area was pretty clear.
This is North Hull Estate.
Yeah.
It did have some bombs, didn't
it?
Yeah,
but not serious ones.
Not like the city centre?
Yeah. No, because my dad used to be on fire watch. He used to go to BOCM every other night, I think it was, to walk round in case any incendiaries fell, you know. I don't know what they called it. They had a special name for it. And he used to wear army doings when he was on duty.